and welcome back to Southern Souls Case Files. In this episode, we're going to talk about the demons in Florence case. I say demons because originally we thought that there were multiple demons in this house. It turns out there was just one. Just a little viewer discretion or listener discretion, I will be saying the names of those demons. So if you're one of those people that do not like to hear the names or think I'm invoking them, you might want to click off now. Because I will be saying those names. Of course, this case was in Florence, the town I live in, or the city I live in. And of course, I'm not going to give out any names or addresses or anything like that. That's going to be kept confidential, as always. Whenever I got this case, I was very skeptical about it because some of the claims were just outrageous. And the closer and closer it got, the claims got more and more outrageous. We investigated this place two times while the demon was there. We investigated it more than that after we did our blessing and all that and the cleansing. We investigated there just kind of off the record multiple times. So, the home was built in 1971, and the homeowner's mother used to live there, and she has since passed away. Sorry, I lost my train of thought. Land used to be slave land, or where slavery was done, I guess you could say. I really don't know how to put it. I can't think of the word I'm looking for. Please don't make fun of me. but it was slave land, and that's going to come into play later on. In the case, and what we pieced together after the case was over, what me and my team members had pieced together and what we had discovered of the reason why the demon was there. The mother of the homeowner who died, she had dementia. That's just a little background story. She did have dementia, and she lived in the house alone. And her mother would take care of her. She'd go over there every day and cook her food and stuff like that. Kind of take care of her, check up on her. But anyway, the lady was 72 years old, the original homeowner. She was 72 years old at death. So she was up there in age. And anyway, so this is some of the paranormal phenomena that they reported to me. And that was that doors and cabinets would open and close, and it wouldn't just be one or two of them, it would be all of them. There was a couple times that they came home from Walmart, and they noticed that all of the cabinet doors and drawers in the home were open. TVs would turn on and off, the channels would change, the volume would go up and down, and I did witness that. I did witness the volume going up and down. The smoke alarm would go off for no apparent reason. There was no smoke in the house. The batteries were brand new. It would go off as if there was a fire. There was some growling that was heard, and some apparitions. And here is what really stuck out to me. And this was something that, I was very, very skeptical about. I mean, I was skeptical about all the doors opening and closing, the cabinet doors, the drawers, and stuff like that. I was skeptical about that, but this made me really skeptical. And that is, they came home from, I think, Walmart or somewhere, some grocery store, and there was a knife that was stuck into the wall. They actually showed me the knife. It was a meat knife that was stuck into the wall, and they showed me where it was stuck. And I mean, it didn't have enough force to, like, really get down in there. I mean, it was as if somebody just kind of stuck in the wall. So, who knows? They could have just been telling me that. I don't know. I'm still skeptical about that. And this, all the activity started 8 months ago at the time of this interview. There's one thing that I forgot to mention. This case lasted 8 months. It was an open case for 8 months. So from August to March, I believe, was from whenever the case first opened to us to whenever the case closed. So 8 months. I believe that's 8 months. I know it was August to March. This actually started 8 months ago at the time of the first interview, and has gotten much worse. Another thing that I want to say real quick, I have another version of the case file somewhere, but I cannot seem to find it. So I'm going off the original case file. I think this is the original, is what it looks like. Yeah, this is the original case file. Started 8 months ago, in August of 2018, and it's gotten much worse. The homeowner didn't know if her mother had ever experienced anything like this because she had dementia, so she could have had experiences but forgotten about them. So, the property had, it was a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, and it was a 1,224 square foot house. Not a tiny, tiny house, but not a big house. I asked, has anyone heard any voices? And those happened very, very often. And I can vouch for that. I did hear voices while I was there, male and female voices. I then asked them, were there any smells or odors? And just without hesitation, the lady said, yes, sulfur, rotten egg smell, which is sulfur, and cigar smoke. Then smells of a dead body or just decay in general, and then also smells of perfume. So with the smell of sulfur or rotten eggs, that's commonly attributed to demonic activity. And I want to say another thing. This is our first demonic case we ever handled. So it was something completely new to us. We went in not knowing what we were really doing. But we learned throughout those 8 months how to deal with these, and I had talked to many different people, gotten advice, and went from there. But we'll get into that later, and of course, after I get done reading the case file, I'll kind of go into what happened during the first and second investigations. And that's another reason why I wish I had the other case file, the newer one, because that had everything listed in it, but I cannot seem to find it. I then asked, are there any shadows that's been seen? And they said at least 2 times a week, and they're shaped like a person, but they're humanoid. So they're kind of distorted. So that was another thing that kind of linked to demonic activity, humanoid shadows. I then asked, has anyone seen or recorded any orbs? And they said rarely. And I myself am not a big believer in orbs. I believe that if you see one with your own eyes, then yeah, that's probably a spirit. But if you catch one on camera, then, and you didn't see it with your eyes, then that's probably just either dust, moisture, or an insect. So I believe the same thing David Childers believes. And let's see. I then asked, is there any strong emotion in certain areas of the property? Both the homeowner and her boyfriend has nightmares in the mother's old bedroom. They sleep in the mother's old bedroom, so that's where they have the nightmares. I then asked, has anyone felt any cold or hot spots? And there were cold spots, but they were very rare. And then I asked, has there been a recent death of a loved one? And she said that would be her mother, the original homeowner, and she died in December of 2017. And then, has anyone heard any rapping, walking, or knocking? Knocks come in threes, and this was said without hesitation. And I myself have heard the knocks. During the first investigation, I heard the knocks. And like I said, those come in threes, and that happened in the dining room and in the hallway and in the bedrooms. And they would also hear walking in the hallway as well. I then asked, has there been any mood changes in specific rooms or areas? The answer was yes, and that was in the mother's old bedroom. Has anyone had any conversations with the spirits or entities? And the answer to that was yes, and they pretty much said that it needed to leave or it needed to go away or what be it. So then my next question was, has anyone seen or heard doors opening and closing? And of course, I already know this, but I kind of want to make sure they recount everything the way they originally said it. The answer was yes, they heard the doors open and closing, and they've seen it one time. They've actually seen it open or close. I can't remember which one it was. I think they seen it open. The rest of the times they either came home and they seen where all of them were opened or whatever. My next question was, has anyone seen any objects moving or had items disappear? They had a picture move very, very slowly, and they said that if you stared at it, you really couldn't tell that it was moving, but if you looked at it and then looked away for a few minutes and then looked back, you could tell that it had been moved. Any electrical disturbances was my next question, and that was that the lights would turn on and off, the TV would turn on and off, the volume would go up and down, and the alarm clock. I can't exactly remember what the alarm clock did. I think they said it would start playing music. It was one of those radio clocks. And then I asked, was there any recent renovations at that location? They said yes, they just updated the paint. And that was it. I asked, has there been any problems with appliances? Yes, televisions, lighting, clocks, telephones, and the smoke alarm. Most of that I've already said, so I just want to be thorough with this and make sure I get everything. But I'm actually almost done with the case file. I've got a page and a half to go, and then I've got a little bit of notes. Has anything noteworthy or intense ever happened here? And her words were, yes, anything or everything you can think of has happened here. Then I asked, has there been any noticeable patterns to the activity? She said, for the most part, it's been random, but some things come in threes, the knocks come in threes, occasionally the activity will ramp up for a few days, and then it will, for about 2 or 3 days, it'll kind of die down, and then it'll ramp up again, and then it'll die back down, and then it'll ramp up again, and then it'll die back down, and it'll keep doing that for a little bit, and then it'll just stop being in a pattern. then it'll just be active all the time or not active all the time. I then asked what could be some of the possible conventional causes in your opinion, and she said there's absolutely nothing that I believe that could be causing this. My next question was, do any of the residents at the location experience unusual mood swings or strange vivid dreams? And yes, they do. As I mentioned earlier, they had nightmares. Do residents become tired, sick, or agitated to an extraordinary extent? Yes, but not too bad. But as the case stretched on, it got worse and worse and worse. And I could kind of tell that just by talking to them. Are there any accounts of the paranormal phenomena occurring at an occupant's previous residence? If so, please explain. No, there was no other activity that was, I guess you could say, documented or experienced at their previous location or previous home. And then these were questions kind of for myself, and I usually don't release these, but this is kind of more of a, this podcast is more of an open, not so professional. I'm not trying to be as professional. I'm still never going to release any names or addresses as long as the homeowners don't want me to. If they have to state if I can release their name, which I'm never going to release their address, but if it's okay with them to release their name, whether it be first name or last name or first name and last name, then I'll release it. But if not, if they don't say so, then I won't do it. But these are questions that are really just for me or for the person doing the interview, which was the overall integrity of the occupants. Do the occupants appear sincere in telling their accounts? If not, explain. I put very honest, but I was skeptical. I mean, they seemed like, I mean, once I asked a question, they were very quick to respond, and there was no, like, hesitation, and all the times I asked them a question again, I repeated a question, they answered it the same way as they did. I mean, they didn't say the same words, they may have reworded it, but it meant the same thing. So it wasn't like scripted, it wasn't like they scripted it or anything like that. Does each recounting of the paranormal event remain consistent? If not, explain. Yes, it did remain consistent. It remained consistent for the entire 8 months. Do you believe any of the occupants would want to perpetuate a hoax for any type of attention? If not, explain. I didn't believe so. I mean, whenever I first got in contact with the lady, she was so happy to be in contact with us because she'd been trying to get in contact with us for a while, but her messages would never send to us. So whenever she finally got in contact with us, she was like, thank God. Do you believe any of the persons being interviewed to be sound of mind, normal, rational people? If not, explain. I put yes, they are sound of mind, and they don't seem to have any type of mental disorder or anything like that. Do you believe there may be reason to believe that the paranormal accounts may be a result of drug use, psychological conditions, overactive imagination, or dishonesty? No. Do you believe that further investigation is necessary? If not, explain. I put yes, and that I knew that a home blessing was going to be needed, and that a cleansing was going to be needed. This was in the diabolic oppression stage, because there's three stages to possession. There is a infestation, oppression, and possession. So this was in the second stage of oppression. So after doing this interview, a few days later, they call me and... What is that noise? Sorry, I got sidetracked. I thought I heard something. Anyway, a few days later, I called them. Not they didn't call me. I called them, and I was calling in to check in on them. And as I was talking to the lady, her husband or her boyfriend got scratched on. It was the left side of the face from the cheekbone down to the neck, and it was 3 scratch marks. And that happened while I was on the phone, and she sent me pictures of it. Now, could she have done that, or could he have done that, either knowingly or not knowingly? Absolutely, they could have done that. With the activity that they had, do I believe that they did that? Well, it goes both ways, really. Because if they're really wanting to get help, some of the activity is not going to always happen. It's not going to show itself if it knows what our intentions are. So they could be creating the activity or making it look like there's activity. I hope you understand what I'm saying, because I'm trying to explain it the best I can. But in all, they could be creating the activity knowing that they already have bad activity in order to try to get help quicker, if that makes sense. I'm hoping that does make sense. Let's see. And another night, this was a night that I didn't talk to him, but they did tell me that she was thrown out of a chair. And that was kind of a shocker to me. And again, could that be something they made up? Absolutely. Could that be something that really happened? Absolutely. I mean, you never can tell with these demonic cases, but you've always got to remain skeptical, but not too skeptical. I mean, you've got to have that right amount of skepticism in order to conduct an investigation as good as you can. Pretty much as good as you can. So, now we're going to move into kind of what happened in the first investigation. Well, this case was about 10 miles away from where I live. Actually, less than that. It was probably about 7 or 8. And I got there first. And my team members were a little behind, actually a lot behind. They were about 3 hours behind. They had some car trouble. Imagine that. So I'm there by myself. Well, for the first 15 minutes, I'm not. I'm talking to the homeowners, and they're telling me this and that and this and... tell me that a great place to be to experience activity is in the living room. And they said it always seems to happen whenever you're watching TV. I'll never forget that after they left, I started doing a little investigation. I know there's going to be people that are thinking, well, you should never go on a demonic investigation by yourself. Well, it could have been a lot worse for me. It really could have. I think that it was just trying to warn me or make me leave. And for a short amount of time, it did. It did get me out of the house. But anyway, what happened was I got on Facebook. I started doing a live video. And I started doing my investigation. I pulled out the PSB 11. Nothing on there. Started pulling out the ovulus. Nothing on there. Just random words. Nothing with any relevance or anything like that. And so then I'm like, well, I think I'm going to take their advice. So I shut down the Facebook Live, and I grab the TV remote, I turn on the TV, and I'm flipping through the channels. I go through all the channels where finally I just come across one decent movie, which is World War Z. And I'm watching it. And about 3 to 5 minutes into watching it, I hear this little girl laugh. I'll never forget that ever in my life. I will never forget it. It was so innocent sounding, but you could tell what it really was. I mean, it sounded just like a little girl. And it's something you always hear on these TV shows. Oh, you hear a little girl laugh. Oh, it's demonic. Well, I never actually thought I was going to hear that. And did I actually... I did not think I was going to hear that. It was the last thing that I expected to hear, because that's such a common thing and such a... You know, it's what you hear in movies, and you just, I don't know. Being that I've never dealt with a demonic case, or really ever did research on it until this case came about, it was all what I've seen on TV, what I've seen in movies and stuff like that. So I'm just like, well, if it's in movies, it's probably not true. Well, it was true. And it shook me to my core. As I look over to see if there is a little girl standing beside me, I see this white apparition, and it literally looks like somebody in a sheet acting like a ghost. I mean, it poked its head around the corner 2 times in a split second, and it scared me. I thought there was somebody in there with me, because it looked so real. You could see the sheet moving, or what looked like a sheet moving. And I ball my fist up, and I'm walking over there. I'm ready to defend myself, and I'm like, I hope this person doesn't have a gun. Because at the time, I feel like there's somebody, I feel like there's a living person in that house with me. And you never know these days. I mean, doing investigations can be dangerous, not necessarily because of the spirits, but because of how people are these days. I mean, there could be somebody hiding in a corner just waiting for you to find them, and then they'll shoot you or stab you or strangle you or break your neck or whatever. You know, it can be very dangerous, and it can be very scary. I mean, if you've never been on a demonic investigation, then you probably don't want to. You might think you do, but you don't want to. Trust me. Which, not all demonic cases are as bad as this one. Which, this one was, you know, nowhere near as bad as some of the ones that I've heard of. I mean, this wasn't something that Ed and Lorraine Warren would have been involved in, but, or they may have. But, you know, it wasn't like stuff being, like, thrown violently across the room and just scratches all the way down somebody's back, and you seeing this demon with horns. He's got a red face, black eyes, or white eyes, or whatever. It wasn't that bad, but it was still pretty bad. Anyway, whenever that happens, like I said, I balled my fist up, and I'm ready to defend myself because I think there's a person in there. Well, I'm calling up the homeowners. I'm like, hey, y'all will not believe what just happened. And as I'm calling them, or talking to them, I'm trying to unlock the door. My hand's just shaking. And the next thing I know, I get groped. I get groped once inside, and then I get groped once outside, and then I get in my car, and I sit out there for about 30 minutes. Well, for about 5 or 10 minutes, I'm talking to the homeowners. The next 15, 20 minutes, I'm talking to somebody from a case that happened only 2 or 3 weeks ago prior to this investigation. I'm like, you will not believe what just happened, because she was a big fan of our page. And so, you know, I'm sitting there talking to her, and I'm like, this is absolutely crazy. I don't want to go back in there. I don't. Well, anyway, I go to McDonald's, because that's the closest restaurant to us, and I get a frappe. I know this is going off, kind of, but I walk in and I see 2 guys in a corner booth. Listen, I can hear my voice on their phone. And I recognize that, hey, that is the video that I just did. Not I'd say, let's see. How long was I in that house? I was probably in that house for about an hour. And then I sat outside for about 30, 45 minutes. So a video I'd probably finished up about 45 minutes to an hour before I went to McDonald's. Anyway, so I didn't say anything. I got my frappe. Whenever I said something, I believe that's whenever they recognized my voice and they said, "Hey, are you so-and-so?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I am." "Are you Dalton Jones?" "Yeah, I am." And that made me feel pretty good because, you know, you had people locally watching your stuff, and it just felt good, and it kind of, it took away the fear that I had, and it kind of calmed me down because it was just, I wasn't really expecting either one of those things to happen. Somebody to be watching my video, and then somebody to, or something to laugh like a little girl, get groped, and see an apparition like that all in the same night. Wasn't expecting that. But that was the most noteworthy thing that happened. Finally, my team got there, the rest of my team, and we investigated, and I kept telling them what was going on, and all they could do was make fun of me because they're like, "Oh, you're such a drama queen," or, "Oh, you're such a little girl." I'm like, "Well, you weren't in there." You were not in there. And I really wish that they were, because if they were, I probably wouldn't have been scared as bad. And the second investigation was I wouldn't say it was scarier, but it was definitely more active. Because the first case, that was pretty much all the activity we got besides activity on the REM pod and some activity with a mail meter. I mean, we didn't really get a whole lot on anything else. So we started using the Ouija board. Wow, isn't that just a wonderful thing to use on a demonic case? Well, that was the only thing that we could make contact with it. I mean, we couldn't get it to communicate with anything else. But now I believe that the Ouija board is just kind of it's kind of our subconscious making the planchette move. So I'm going to do a little test with that one day, probably very soon, with the Ouija board, where we're going to blindfold somebody and actually see if it spells out anything that makes sense. So anyway, after the first case, or after the first investigation, we then found out that this entity or this demon was spelling out things with in the search menu on DirecTV. This was something that I've never heard of. This was something that everybody I've talked to has never heard of. It was spelling out things such as "burn, bitch," "burn," get out now," "Malik, Amon, and Oz." Malik, Amon, and Oz are demons. So it was giving us the impression that it was multiple demons, and that's where we got the name Demons in Florence, or the Florence Demon House. That's where we got the name from, because, like I said, we thought there were multiple demons. Turns out there was just one. We got a medium that's on our team now, and she did some channeling, and she used her abilities to find out what was really there, and it turned out it was just one demon, and that demon's name was Baal. It's, you can spell it multiple ways, B-A-A-L, or B-A-E-L, or B-E-A-L, or I think it's B-I-A-L as well, Baal, but I spell it B-A-A-L. Not that that really matters, but anyway, second investigation. We get there, and we start communicating with, and I never told y'all this, I went to school with the homeowner's boyfriend's son, who died in a car wreck. he started communicating with us, and anyway, we communicated with him for a little bit, and then we got down to business. We started talking with the demon that was there. We then went out and did the property cleanse, which I didn't, all I was doing was filming. I didn't take really part in that, but I did do the home blessing. And the home blessing was one of the more active times where the demon was actually active. The medium was channeling the demon, and well, actually, she didn't know she was at the time, I don't believe. And anyway, once I get to the dining room, where I say, "Lord, give us sustenance," or blah, 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 "Lord, give us sustenance to sustain our bodies," or something like that. And that is whenever I hear this growl. I mean, this is not something that's going to come out of a woman's vocal cords. I mean, it is just too deep. It is just too sinister. I mean, it is. It's just, it was crazy. I mean, there's no other word to describe that. And anyway, it turns out we missed a room. Well, we didn't know that at the time, but we start communicating with the deceased son, and he's telling us, or he's communicating with us, and we're talking to him, and he's saying he misses his dad, and that his dad misses him, and that he's still with them, blah, blah, blah. And then he comes through and says, "It's back," or "He's back." We don't know for sure, but we do know for sure it said "back." It was either "He's back" or "It's back." That's whenever we realized that we missed the door that was sitting right behind me. That one door. And it was a closet. We blessed that little closet, and then it was done. You could feel the air just, or the pressure and the static electricity and the heat all just leave the air. And it's something that I've never felt before, and I felt amazing. You could actually breathe in there. I mean, before it was like you're on top of a mountain and you could barely breathe. Now you can breathe, and it's not like you're being suffocated. It was amazing, and the homeowners noticed it immediately. I mean, as soon as we put that cross on the door, that was it. It was done. But after that, it was gone. Ball was gone. So anyway, that's my story of the Florence Demon House, or the Demons in Florence case. I appreciate y'all for listening. Those who listened all the way through, I know this was a longer episode, but thank you for listening, and I hope every one of you have an amazing day, or night, or evening, or whatever. Just have an amazing one. Again, thank y'all for listening.